Blog Talk Radio.
Hit me! How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
No.
Lord God. Hallelujah. There is no one like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this is the time of year that we want to promote Jesus. We should be promoting him every day. But we know that on Sunday coming is Easter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Or Resurrection Sunday. Glory to God. Because we do know, I hope you do know, that the Easter Bunny has nothing to do with the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. I hope you do know that those Easter eggs that are being hidden and found have nothing to do with the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I want to first welcome you to Power Lunch with Jesus in the Word. This is your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott. Glory to God. I'm glad to be here on today. Hallelujah. And today we want to talk about the risen Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What exactly does Jesus mean to you? Who is Jesus to you? Do you even know who he is besides praying and saying, in Jesus' name, amen? I mean, do you know Jesus as your healer? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him as your friend? Do you know him in any other capacity than, okay, I want this from God, and I ask it in Jesus' name? Let's talk about that today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. As we approach Resurrection Sunday, we have a call on the line, 919-665. Good afternoon, and welcome to Power Luncheon with Jesus in the Word.
Hi, Sister Scott. This is Sister Scott, Robin Scott. How are you?
Robin, I am so happy to hear from you.
Praise the Lord. I saw the invitation. I was like, I just have to call in because me and you, we had such a good fellowship on Facebook the other night just ministering about this topic and about the Word. And, yes, I do know Jesus Christ is my risen Lord and Savior. I don't just use his name and pray in Jesus' name. I know the power and authority of that name. And I know that Easter, the Resurrection Sunday, as I like to say, has nothing to do with no Easter bunny, no bunny rabbits, no eggs, no new soup, no new hat, no new shoe. It's all about being a brand new me in Jesus Christ. And, you know, I was thinking about out here, a lot of people are flocked, the churches will be packed on Sunday. Sinners that don't even think about Jesus, no other day. Oh, they flock to church on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, because it's tradition for them. They've been raised up that, oh, you go to church on Easter Sunday because Jesus died and he rose for us. And you show respect and you go to church on Easter Sunday. Yeah, but what about when you leave out the church door after Easter Sunday service is over and you hear the word? Well, I heard something. Some preachers ain't going to preach the word. They're going to preach a traditional message that they try to mix.
Lord, we just got finished about that.
They try to mix it with this paganism. They gonna, cause they want to please everybody. They got people got them itching ears, and they got people that want to hear and want to hear something about their fables and folklores. And so they got some preachers. They gonna mix some of that in and try to put some word in. And so that's just gonna nullify anything they got to say about the word. But you need somebody that's gonna stand up and proclaim the truth of God's word and let them know, look, Jesus died. Yeah, he didn't pay the price. But you need to go to the bank of Jesus Christ and make your withdrawal. And you need to live every day because of what Jesus did on the cross. Your life got to be exemplified. It can't just be that you know some words, you know a little bit about the word. You got to live it out every day. Romans 4:17 said, as he is, so are we in this world. So as Christ was, that's how we got to live out every day. It's got to be a walk that people can see a difference in your life. Then if they're not living for God, they got to see difference. They got to see, oh, what is it about that person? They can go through things and they don't turn and start doing crazy stuff. There's so much craziness in the world now. You know, it's really time for the saints of God, the true saints of God, be the saints of God, because people are looking. They're looking at our lives. They're looking to see that resurrection power in our life every day. I'm sorry.
Yes, they sure are. And we need to be
demonstrating. I get to talking and I get stopped.
That's how we do. That's how we do. But let me tell you something. I just got finished hanging up the phone with my pastor, and she was just talking to me about tradition, how people are so stuck up in tradition. Because I called her and I asked her if she would be doing Good Friday service on Friday. And she just got to talking to me about tradition, how people just want to come and do tradition. And God is not into tradition. God wants to do what he wants to do. God wants to get the glory.
Right.
to get the praise. And God wants us to be able to tell people, you know, you can say the seven last words for seven last years, okay, and keep doing the same thing. But what is God telling you today? What is the new thing that God is telling you? What is it that he wants people to know that are coming in? People are tired of listening to the same stuff over and over again. Now it's time to tell people about Jesus. It's time to tell people about what Jesus did on the cross. But just because, you know, everybody else is doing the seven last words doesn't mean that you have to do it. See, we need to come out of the flesh and get in the spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to tell us what to do in these services. This is probably why a lot of people are not getting saved on Easter Sunday and on Good Friday, because everything is such a tradition. Let's get out of the flesh and get in the spirit and let Jesus do what he want to do. Let the Holy Spirit do what he want to do, so people can get born again and people can get delivered and people can get set free from these bondages. And we're talking about the tradition of the world, and we walk right into them. We do the same thing, whatever the world says do, and then we take it as something that we're supposed to do. But our God is bigger than that. Our God is bigger than seven last words. Our God is bigger than, you know, the Easter bunny and dressing up with the big hat and all that other stuff. Our God is bigger than that. Let me tell you something. Don't get me started.
I understand. Let's see the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost in action. Because, you know, the word says that really signs are for the unbeliever. It's not for the believer. We already know God's power. But when the sinners see the power of God, that's when they believe. Because they have to see something. So I was looking at this video that someone had posted on Facebook, and this man of God, true prophet of God, he was in this service, and this woman was there. I mean, she was all dressed up, looking good and everything. And he told her, he said, "I see a light about you." He said, "But that's not a true light." He said, "You are a false prophet. You really are in witchcraft." And she admitted, she was like, yes, everything he told her, she was like, yes, yes, that's right. And when he laid hands on that woman and the power of God got on her and those demons was coming out of her, oh, my Lord. I'm telling you, I was like, where is that power at in the church today? You don't see people doing that anymore. You hardly even see people. Where is the, where are the gifts? I mean, the gifts are in the body, but they're not being manifested because it's so much, everybody's teaching more about other things except for continuing in the apostles' doctrine. In the, you know, when the church was first established, well, the church was established before the foundation of the world, but I'm saying, like, in the book of Acts, I want to see church like that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we don't have church like that a lot of times right now. I'm sure there's some places that have church like that, but they're few and far between, because what is happening is, and we step into commercialism,
commercialism,
and we want to be like the world. We want to do things like the world.
You cannot
telling
be like the world. We're not called to be like the world. We called to come out of the world.
In the church.
Yeah.
We
called to show the world how to get to God. We call to show the world God. We got to show them something different so they desire God. And we're doing the same thing the world's doing. They don't want God because they feel like they got God. Well, if you wear your skirts up to the, you know, the way the women wear, the way the world wear up to the, and the world, the women in the world doing the same thing, well, they feel like, okay, if she's supposed to be a Christian and saved and in the church, and she's wearing the same thing like I'm wearing, and she says she got God, I must have God too. Because they looking, you know, they looking on the outside. They don't really see the inside. But if God is really on the inside of you, he going to show up on the outside of you.
He will. He definitely will. But one thing that I do want to say is that, you know, we people sometimes have a problem doing what it is that we're supposed to do. Somebody told me the devil done snuck up in the church. And I said, the devil ain't sneak up in the church. You open the door and let him walk right in. You don't let the devil in and come in and take over. You run the devil out. Get out of here in the name of Jesus.
Right. I was thinking last night, Holy Spirit was like, I was thinking about drawing. I was like, the Holy Spirit draws people, but the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he woos. He gently loves and prods people. And then, you know, the word also says that people are thrown away after their own lust. And I was thinking about when I was a little girl and grew up in my hometown, and I lived in town, but like when we would go out in the county, in the country area, this friend of my grandmother, she had a well, and I used to love to go to that well because you could, you know, take the thing and put the bucket down in the water and draw it, you know, draw the water up. And I was like, I was thinking about draw. I was like, that's what it means when it says draw away after their own lust. It's like the enemy had this thing on a, like a stick or something. It's like he dangles it there, and it's something shiny, it's something you like, and it's not in the will of God, but you just keep looking at it, and you keep, and so what he do, he draws it, he keep drawing the line further and further away from God, and the more you look at that thing that you lusting after and stuff, he's drawing you away from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just time now that, first of all, we got to, it's got to be preached and taught the whole word of God, the whole truth of God's word. You can't mix it. You can't sugarcoat it. You can't try to, like I say, you can't try to put things in there to please people with the itching ears. You can't try to have gimmicks and tricks to get people to come to the church. If they won't come because of the unadulterated, true, pure word of God, then they're not coming. Because if they come for tricks and gimmicks and stuff, that's what they're going to expect all the time. That's what they're going to want. That's what it's going to take to keep them. A lot of people say, well, we do this because we want the world to come in. Once we get them here, then we'll get them the truth. No, if they're not coming in because of the true word of God, then when you get them there with your tricks and gimmicks, that's what they're going to expect all the time. That's what they want. If you draw something by tricks and gimmicks, that's what they want. You know how it's an old saying said, whatever it took to keep to get them, that's what it's going to take to keep them. That's
mm-hmm.
how some churches have gotten to trying to get the world, saying they want to get the world in the church. They do tricks and gimmicks, and they might have churches that have homosexuals leading the choir because they can sing very well, and, you know, oh, they can draw the people in because the choir is so good, and they sing so good. Yeah, but you know what they're drawing in? They're drawing that same homosexual spirit right up in the church. And then if you don't have a word strong enough to deliver them from homosexuality, then they expect that they can stay in their sin and stay in the church, and they think they still saved and delivered.
And that's the truth. That's what happens. But, again, we have to have a made-up mind that we're going to serve God no matter what. We have
serve
to have a made-up mind
no
that we're not going to compromise. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to compromise. But then people don't want – there's a lot of people that don't want to do that. Now, someone in the chat room someone in the chat room says, what is the topic about? And I said it's about Jesus and the Easter Bunny. And they said, oh – because that's not what they're hearing. So, we're going to talk about Jesus and the Easter Bunny because a lot of people are walking around promoting this Easter Bunny and people are spending all this money on this Easter Bunny. And I know for a fact that the Easter Bunny did not go to the cross for me. I don't know about anybody else. So, anybody in the chat room or on the phone line, did the Easter Bunny go to the cross for you in the chat room? I need somebody to talk to me. Hello, in the chat room. Did the Easter Bunny go to the cross for you? Was the Easter Bunny wounded for your transgressions or bruised for your iniquity? Was the chastisement of your peace upon the Easter Bunny and you're healed by the Easter Bunny stripes? Huh? Oh, somebody said Jesus and the Easter Bunny have nothing in common. Well, if you look at the television commercials, you would think the Easter Bunny did more for us than Jesus ever did. All you see is the Easter Bunny. Easter Bunny this, Easter Bunny that. Easter Bunny this, Easter Bunny that. I'll be cracking up sometimes.
Yeah.
Because that Easter Bunny hasn't done anything for me.
Not at all. There's no such thing as Easter Bunny. A bunny is a bunny. It just hops around, eat carrots, lettuce, whatever. It's a cute little fuzzy little pet that people like, children like.
He said it's a cute little fuzzy little pet.
Bunny. It's a fuzzy little pet. That's all it is.
My husband,
and I'm
going
to have to say goodnight. I hate to get off, but you know my job, what I do, taking care of all my sweetie. So I'm going to have to get off, but I have enjoyed speaking to you. I do apologize if I went off and got off the subject matter, which was the Easter Bunny. But I do thank God that I got a chance to really hear your voice.
I'm glad to hear yours, too, and thank you so much for calling in. And don't worry about
okay.
it, honey. We got it.
Okay.
We got
well,
it.
You have a blessed day and a blessed rest of your radio program.
All
and
right.
you be blessed.
Thank
okay.
you, Robin.
Okay. All right. You too, Sister Scott. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Robin Scott. She is one of my Facebook friends. And we've never spoken in person, but she's one of my Facebook friends, and I thank God for that, for Robin being on, because she's really on fire for the Lord. But we do want to talk about the commercialism of Easter and how the enemy is so slick that he will take your mind off of whatever has to do with Jesus. Even on Christmas time, there always seems to be a problem when it comes to Jesus. Everybody wants to be about the toys and, you know, the big ticket items and this, that, and the third. And Jesus gets lost in the sauce somewhere. You know, and then if somebody does want to say something about Jesus, then people want to, oh, no, we want to protest. Why are you talking to Jesus? We want to protest. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't
Amen.
Be that way. So my thing is that we need to make up our minds whether we're going to serve Jesus and serve Jesus for real and not worry about the commercialism, or we're just going to follow the rest of the crowd and do what they do.
Amen.
Oh, hi, honey.
Hey.
How you doing?
How you doing? You Angelus? Here we go, you Teresa.
That's my name.
That is your name. I should know it.
You know it. That is my name.
Tree to me.
Tree to me.
I just want to say I'm glad that you're talking about that, and this is the Passion Week where our minds are reflecting on the life and the death and the resurrection of Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Truly, we have to get back to the reason for this season. We always say that at Christmas time, but we have to say that every time that the world tries to interject itself into the holy days that we Christians have. We don't have many. We don't have many. There are many religions that have quite a few. They have all kind of holidays and different holy days that they celebrate. We don't have many holy days if you really look at it. We really basically just celebrate Christmas and Easter, basically, as far as the holy days that we have. We have other days, Thanksgiving, and other days that we celebrate, 4th of July, but we really only have about two really holy days that really are lifted up as being holy days. Christmas and Easter, and now we're coming into Resurrection Day, Anastasia, which means standing on your feet again. That's the Greek word for resurrection. And I was just thinking about the Easter Bunny, and I realized that there is no long-eared cotton-tailed creature mentioned in the Bible during this time or any time for that matter. And another thing I was thinking, I said, you know, do Easter bunnies, what do they have to do with eggs? Rabbits don't even lay eggs. They're mammals, so they have creatures. They have their children like we have ours, naturally born. So all the trappings of this world seem to be just to try to distract us from the truth of the matter. And, you know, that's the way it is all the way around. I was listening this morning to TBN, and I was watching some things on other religious stations, and you know, we have to be so careful. That's why the believers really have to read the word for themselves, really know the word. I was looking at the story about Tabitha, the one that Peter healed, and how they depicted the whole thing, like Peter was reluctant to go to heal her, because he said, why should I leave these thousands that I'm in charge of just to go look after the one? And then I remember how Yahshua, Jesus, taught them that we're supposed to leave the 99 to go after the one. Nowhere does it say in the book of Acts, as it depicts this story, that Peter was ever hesitant. going to see this a girl who was really dead at the time he came. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. And in the book of Acts, where the depiction is made, where the story is told, nowhere does it say that. It's funny how I was looking at some of the 10 most popular biblical pictures, and I looked at the Ten Commandments and other things, and how we distort things, and how we try to deny certain things, even about the life of Christ. We have to be so careful on how we depict it. It's so beautiful sometimes. It's the words are so eloquent. The images are so powerful that we lose sight that this is a real story. All these biblical tales really did happen according to the word of God, and we believe them, and we hold to them. And there's so many impressionable people out there that don't really understand these stories and don't even know these stories. So when they see them depicted in Hollywood on the movies, they begin to embrace them. I think that's where all of these things began, Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and all these things. Yes, it was a man called St. Nicholas, and he was a Catholic priest and all of that, but they just distorted all of that. Even Valentine's Day, there was a man called St. Valentine's, but we just twisted and turned around. But they were very pious men. They would be rolling in their graves right now if they knew how we took what they were all about and took it out of context and brought it into a commercial world. They will be turning in their graves right now. You know, there's an old tradition about how the Easter egg came about. It's supposed to have been, it was a colored Easter egg, how it came about. At the time of the death of Christ, it's told, this is one of the major denominations within the faith of Christianity. The story was told that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Yeshua, came and brought eggs at the foot of the cross of Christ, and the redness came from the droppings of his blood that engulfed the eggs. These nonsensical things that we have to be so careful of, because they really diminish the real story. I believe that the real story of Yeshua is so powerful that you don't need to have a dramatization of it. Or being tampered with it by man's understanding and man's trying to fit it all into his own understanding and his own comprehensions. The story alone in itself stands by itself. It's so miraculous. It's so wonderful that you don't really need to touch it. You don't need to try to interpret it, edit it, try to put your little spin on it. It's such a wonderful story, such a powerful story on its own right, that the things of God are so marvelous in their own right. I think it would be a beautiful story to see Moses as he really was instead of how he is in the Ten Commandments, to see a stuttering man of 80 years old standing up before the king of the world, you might want to say. Egypt at that time was the most powerful nation in the world. And to see him stand up to the most powerful king in the world at that time, a stuttering, stammering, thick-tongued, old man, a fugitive, and stand up to the king of kings of the world at that time, and to stand up boldly and proclaim that the I am that I am sent me. It would be such a marvelous thing to see him say that. And I don't care what the speech impediment or not, just the boldness of it all, because of his affliction, because of his limitations, to still be bold enough to stand before a king. Most of us can articulate very well, and we wouldn't dare stand before President Obama or any other president or any governor or any mayor and be as bold as he was before this king of kings. You know, I mean, the stories that are told, if we would just leave them alone, to see a man like Paul, in spite of his having seizures and other things that he had to wrestle with, his thorn in the flesh, let's see what the thorn was. Let's see what he had to overcome to do the great thing that he did. We don't want to let these men be men, these women be women with all their failings and their faults. We want to picture them as being virtually almost perfect in every way, physically, spiritually, in every way. But most of the characters, if not all the characters in the Bible, were men and women like you and I are men and women, with their failings and their faults and their weaknesses and their slipping and sliding and their trying to overcome their humanity, trying to overcome their flesh, and then to see in the end how they did overcome. how their faith did stand in spite of their own fleshly desires, how they stood for God, and many of them even died for the Lord. To see how it would be an example to us all. How you keep people always wonder, how can I stop this habit? How can I stop being this? How can I stop being that? If we would depict the characters of the Bible the way they really were, oh my goodness, how powerful that would be. Then maybe if I could see that Abraham was nothing but a liar, that Jacob was a trickster and a schemer and a supplanter. Maybe if I could see how Joseph was a braggart and was filled with pride, and how they humbled themselves, and how they came off of all of that and began to wrestle first with themselves and then submit themselves to God. Maybe then I could say, well, if they could do that, if they could overcome that, maybe I can overcome what I'm going through. But we paint them almost superhuman, to the point that they have lost their humanity. And I think that's where we get a disconnect. That's where we find it so hard. I know, maybe, well, I can't be like Paul. Who can be like Peter? Yes, you can. They were nothing but flesh and blood men. Maybe you can say that about Yahshua, because he was God-man. He was the Son of God. He was the God. He was God incarnate in this world. But certainly Peter and Paul and all those men and the women like Deborah and Sarah and all those women of the Bible, they were very human, who had overcome their flesh, who had to wrestle with their flesh oftentimes, who had to mortify their flesh. And in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit to help them. All they had was their faith. We have faith in the Holy Spirit in this dispensation of grace that we're in. So I think it would behoove us, maybe even as Christians, to begin to produce and to create movies and stories that would depict these men and women of the Bible as they really were. Human beings that had to overcome being human beings, had to overcome the natural sin which was originated by our foreparents, Adam and Eve. They had to overcome like we have to overcome. They had to overcome their perpetual sin, which means the sin that they did themselves had nothing to do with Adam and Eve. Abraham being a liar had nothing to do with his mama and his grandmama being his great-grandmama and his great-great-grandmama and all that being sinners. He did that himself, his own choice, his own desires, his own inclination. But getting back to the point, Christ Jesus himself even showed us how he was tempted. Every point, that's why it says there, Paul says that at every point, he showed us how to overcome humanity, how to overcome the flesh. That's why God came in the form of Christ Jesus. That's why he came in the form of Yahshua. So to show men that you can, even in the flesh, overcome and mortify your flesh. We need to talk about his temptation. He was really tempted. He really wanted to, in somewhere in his recesses of his heart and his mind, he wanted to take control of this world like Satan tried to tempt him with. He wanted that. He was hungry after 40 days and 40 nights of being in the wilderness without eating anything but by fasting. He was very hungry. That's why Satan tempted all those things with him, because he knew his inclination. But over and over again, Christ had to overcome his own temptations, his own inclinations, not with some flowery words that came from his own heart, but by the word of God itself. We have to begin reading the word of God. We've gotten away from the word of God. We like to preach and we like to teach and we like to do this and that, but we have left the word of God. The word of God will tell you when Satan comes at you. If you read where your weaknesses are, God will show you in his word how to overcome that weakness, how to overcome that temptation, how to overcome it. He said there's no temptation that's uncommon to man. Each of us are tempted every single day with something, whether it's through commission or omission. We're tempted with something that's outside of the will of God. And we need to see how you overcome that. How did Abraham leave his being a liar and a schemer and become the man of faith that even was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac when God commanded him to? How did Jacob, who was a schemer and a planner and tricked his brother and tricked his father and did all of this and that, and how did he change from being the father of the 12 tribes of Israel? How did he change to become the patriarch of the nation of Israel? How what happened? What transformation? What happened? Well, we know what happened to him. He had his moment with the angel of the Lord. He had his moment where he had to wrestle with first himself. That's why he said he prevailed against what? Man and God. He had to first wrestle with himself. Then he wrestled with the angel, who was incarnate, who was the pre-incarnate Christ. See, we got to first wrestle with ourselves, then we got to wrestle with the with Christ. We're talking about Jesus today. We have to wrestle with him. Do I really want to, first of all, do I want to submit? Then I have to wrestle with submitting. So the first wrestling is with myself. Do I want to? Do I want to give this up? Do I really want to let it go? Do I really want to change? Do I really want to renew myself? We talk about redemption all the time, but do we really want to be redeemed? We talk about repentance all the time, but do we really want to repent? Or like my wife always says, are we just sorrowful? Are we just remorseful? Do we just feel bad about it? Does it just tug at our heartstrings for an instant? And then after our heartstrings have been tugged on a minute and we shed a couple of tears and we moan a couple of times and shout a few hallelujahs, then we're about ready to start all over again what we were doing previous to all of that. Repentance doesn't mean just feeling bad about it. It means changing your mind about it. Do you really want to change your mind about the things that you do outside of the will of God? Do we really want to do that? It's funny how we as parents have created in our children's mind the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. My daughter didn't come out of her mother's womb believing in a Santa Claus or an Easter Bunny. She learned it from somebody. I didn't come out of my mother's womb understanding about a Santa Claus or Easter Bunny. Somebody had to tell me about it. And then after you get a certain age, they deny that he ever existed in the first place. There's no such thing as the Easter Bunny. There's no such thing as Santa Claus. But for 8 years, I believed there was a Santa Claus and there was a Easter Bunny. But all of a sudden now, there is no more Santa Claus. There is no more Easter Bunny. I'm the Easter Bunny, or I'm Santa Claus, the parent will tell you. We need to look at ourselves. We need to examine ourselves as believers in the one and true and only God. When we stand before our children, can they say, my mother told me a long time ago that there's only one reason for this season called Christmas. There's only one reason for this season called Easter. And that's Yahshua. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the high priest. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our Master. We give thanks to him for every good and perfect gift. Not thank you, Santa Claus. Let me leave you a graham cracker and some milk. Let me offer up my life to the one who has really given me the gift of life, the gift of eternal life, the gift of his son, Yahshua. Let me give God the thanks. Let me give him the milk and the cookies. Let me give him the praise and the honor. Let me give him all the glory that he deserves. For truth be told, even that Christmas present your mother and father really didn't give you, because if God didn't allow it to be, he didn't give him a job, he didn't give him money to get it, you wouldn't get it. So even what your mother and father do on December the 25th, or the suit or the dress that your mother or father or mother and father give you on Easter, for Easter Sunday morning, for you to run around and to just, you know, be like a fashion design on Easter Sunday. Let's explain what a new suit typifies. It typifies a new life. Let's explain what a new dress is supposed to really mean. It's not supposed to be a parade all around the church auditorium. It's supposed to remind me that I'm supposed to be dressed anew in the spirit, that I'm supposed to take off the old and put on the new in the spirit. that I'm supposed to be fashionable. I'm supposed to be looking good in the spirit. At Christmas time, let's remind our children that it's not these gifts that they enjoy for just this day. I know there's time when I used to play with the boxes more than I played with the toy in the box. I venture to say there's not many of us that still have our very first Christmas present at 1 year old or 6 months old, whenever our first time having Christmas is. I would venture to say virtually no one, if anyone, still has that present, nor do we want to have it. Most of the things that we were given are antiquated now. They're lost. They're broken. They've been misplaced. They've been replaced with something bigger and better. Oh, but the things of God, the things that Christ gave us, eternal life, they will take you forever. They'll take you into eternity. They'll take you into living not just for 50, 60, 70, 80, or 90, or even 100 years. They'll take you into the rest of your existence. And we're meant to live forever, so our existence has no end. Let's lift up. Let's lift up the men and women of the Bible for what they really were and who they became through the presence of God in their lives. Let's lift up who they had, what they had to wrestle with in reality, even Christ at Gethsemane. Let this bitter cup, he yelled. He said he came three times for hours. He just was there agonizing over what God had required of him, agonizing over it. It wasn't thank you, Lord. Let me get on that cross and die. No, it was an agony. He begged God, let this bitter cup pass from me. Not just one time did he pray that. Not just two times did he pray it. But he went three times before the Lord, God Almighty, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Let this bitter cup pass. I don't want a taste of it. Last Sunday I was marching and parading myself through the city of Jerusalem as a victorious king. And now here I am on the eve of my very death. Let this bitter cup pass from me. How many times have we said that in our lives? Things that are becoming too difficult. Trying things that really try our faith. And we said, let this bitter cup pass from me. I'm tired of this situation. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of the agony. I'm tired of the situation. I'm tired of feeling all by myself. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of crying. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired. So he can teach us how to overcome that. For what was his final report? After all of that was said and done, after he went hours upon hours sweating blood, it tells me in the book of Luke, sweating blood, it tells me there. That's how much sweat, that how hard he was praying, how hard he was sweating, how difficult the decision to go do it God's way really was. But in the end, after all said and done, after the petitions have been offered up to God, after the plea has been offered up to God, after the agony of the moment was offered up to God, then he said, but not my will. But not my will. But thy will be done. See, these are clues and these are just hints on how we need, what we need to do when we're standing at the crossroads of life, when we have to make that ultimate decisions, the ultimate decisions of life. We have to say, but not, even if we go to him two or three times before we take that action, before we finally turn back and turn away from God, keep on after him. But in the end, after you're all said and done, same, but not my will. I want to do this sin, but not my will. I want to yield to my flesh, but not my will. I find that very desirous. I want that. I believe I need that, but not my will. I don't want to help that man on the street. I don't want to give my tithes to the church. I don't want to be out there in the soup kitchens and offering up some money to somebody who's in need. I don't want to visit the prisons. I don't want to turn from my lascivious ways. I don't want to end my lustful desires. I don't want to do it. I don't want to stop drinking. I don't want to stop fornicating. I don't want to stop womanizing. I don't want to stop manizing. I don't want to stop any of those things. I don't want to stop them. I don't want to stop taking drugs. I don't want to stop it. But not my will. Sometimes that's all you have is God's will. Because your will would submit. Your will would yield. Your will would succumb. Your will would get caught up in what you want. And all you have is just knowing the will of God, but you got to know the will first. How do you know the will of God? We have to stay before him in prayer. You got to stay before him in the word. And I think sometimes we stress prayer to the point that we forget about the word. The only way even for us to understand the power and the worth of prayer and even how to pray correctly is be in the word. I know my wife was talking about David. That's a good way to pray. Learn that prayer as an example prayer. Psalm 51. Learn that prayer, what he prayed. Break it down. I mean, we always like to talk about what he prayed, but break it down because we are in the same situation that he's in, that he was in. And we have to see what he did, what he said. Pray the prayer that Christ prayed. And not just pray it in repetition, not just pray it because we pray it every Sunday, or my mama taught me when I was a little boy, so I know, you know my prayer, you know. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be. But break it down. See what he's saying. He's teaching you how to pray. David taught you how to pray in Psalm 51. Learn the prayer, yes, but learn what he's saying in the prayer. That's the key to how you pray, how you get your prayer through. After he prayed that prayer, oh yeah, he still had to go through some things, and his family did too. But God still called him a man after my own heart, because he knew that David knew some things about getting in right relationship with God again. And none of us are in that right of relationship with him where we don't need to pray and learn how to pray from the word of God. Read the story of Stephen, his last sermon, his last prayer. Read the stories of those who prayed unto the Lord. Every single one of them prayed, sometimes agonizing prayers. Paul went 3 times to the Lord, remove this thorn from my flesh. Once again, just like Yeshua did, Paul did the same thing 3 times. He appealed, take this thing away from me. But then Christ came to him, the resurrected Christ came to him and said, my grace is sufficient. And then he explained something, Paul realized some things. In my weakness I find strength. Not in myself, but in thee, Lord. Read those prayers and the petitions and how they prayed and the words they said, and maybe you need to emulate that. Sometimes a good Lord, have mercy on me, is all that's required. I know one time the most powerful, the most effective prayer I ever prayed was on behalf of my wife and I. She was in the hospital, and we had virtually nothing in terms of finances, no food, no nothing. And yet she was worrying about me being home in a situation like that. And I'm worrying about her because, she's in the hospital, and here we're in such a desperate financial situation. And all I said was, Lord, I can't say it. I'm not going to be all this preachy. I'm not going to be Pastor Scott now. I'm not going to be, the minister and the reverend and all those kind of things. I'm not going to be all this, oh, thou who art. I'm not going to. All I can say is, Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. That's all I said. Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. And when I said, Lord, help me, I don't know what to do, and submitted to him, totally, didn't have no idea, didn't have no suggestions, didn't have nothing, didn't want to take it away from him and try it myself, all that was gone. Lord, I don't know what to do. Please help me. And when I made that, one second to say, prayer, there's no big words in it, no flowery words, no theological phrases, no thee and thou's in it, no Old English, Middle English, no other kind of English. It was simple. Lord, I don't know what to do. Please help me. Help was on the way. one of my family members, my, I'll say who it was, my brother, called me up out of the clear blue sky and said, "What do you need, Gerald?" And, you know, I've always been one that I didn't know what to say when someone says that. I don't want to be seem like I'm greedy or like I'm being self-centered or trying to get the most out of you. So I said, "Can you help me with anything?" He said, "No, I didn't ask you that. What do you need?" I said, "Well, would $200 be okay?" He said, "Gerald, what do you need?" I said, "Well, what about $400? What do you need, Gerald?" I said, "Well, $500 would be good. If you can give me $500, I really would, that would help me out a lot. Would you please do it for me?" He said, "Okay, I'm about to be there in a minute." He took me to the hospital to see my wife. He didn't get out to go into the hospital. He gave me an envelope and said, "Don't open it till you get there with Teresa, and I want you to open it in front of her." I know what he's. I'm thinking $500, and that'll be a wonderful thing to show her that we have $500. I opened the envelope, and there was $1,000 in the envelope. $1,000 in the envelope.
Amen.
That's what God will do.
That's what God will do.
That is what God will do.
Amen.
It doesn't take much.
Amen.
It just takes a humble heart, a contrite spirit, and a willingness to let God be God and move in the heart of someone else. Thank you, Evangelist.
Amen. You're welcome. We have a caller on the line. I believe it's Diana, area code 518.
Amen.
Diana, you're live on the Air Power Lunch with Jesus and the Word.
Thank you. I was calling because your topic of the day really hit something that me and some of my close friends and even relatives have been discussing, which is, you know, Easter Bunny, Christmas, all of that with true religion, with Christ. And I grew up in a Christian home where my mom would set the table up with the basket and the Easter eggs, and for some reason it just never seemed real to me. And as I got older and I started reading the Bible, there was no mention of Easter Bunny.
No
mention of Easter. And I'm still a student of the Bible, and I have children now, and we don't do the Easter Bunny. We don't talk about the Easter Bunny, but we do talk about the resurrection and what Christ has done for me.
Yes.
We talk about, you know, how is it nice that we can sit down as a family and ask questions freely, with my husband included, you know, about God, about Christ. We don't try to follow the traditions of what people do. Like they'll say, "Happy Easter." This weekend I went to the gym. Well, today I went to the gym. And as y'all left out, she said, "Oh, enjoy your Easter." I said, "You have a good weekend." We don't do Easter. We just don't do it because it's not in my Bible to do it. Now, if she had said to have a nice resurrection holiday, I would have said you too as well. Because he died for me. He died for all of us. But he didn't say go paint no eggs.
Painting eggs. I was doing a little bit of research on how Easter even came to be. Because around these times of the year, I try to find out information to see why people actually, why are they so hyped up about. And it says, on one site that I'm looking at, askyahoo.com, and it says, the Easter Bunny has a long history as a pagan symbol that predates the Christian holiday. He says, in fact, our sources suggest that early Christians purposefully co-opted the pagan hair to popularize their own holiday. It says, quite a few pagan cultures hold celebrations in the spring. It's the time of year when plants return to life after being dormant all winter and when animals mate and procreate. These festivities celebrate the renewal of life and promote the fertility of crops, animals, and even people, which was important in these communities, agrarian communities. It says the Saxons believed in a maiden goddess of fertility named Eostre or Eostre, and honored her with a spring festival. Hares and rabbits were considered sacred to her because they are notoriously fertile animals. It says, in the 2nd century A.D., Christian missionaries tried to convert northern European tribes to help make Christianity attractive. The missionaries turned pagan festivals into Christian holidays. The pagan Easter festival occurred around the same time as the Christian celebration, making Christ's resurrection, so the two celebrations blended into one, rabbit and all.
That's true. I've read that too.
Yeah, so we don't, a lot of people don't know how these traditions came to be, but again, even reading in this thing right here, it says how the Christian missionaries decided to take a worldly thing and bring it into the church. You took something worldly and you brought it into the church, and this is what is happening still today. We're taking worldly things, things that are of the world, things that are clearly of the world, and bring them into the church and totally forgetting about Christ Jesus. Even with, you know, the things that we sing, the things that we wear, the things that we do, we take so much focus off of Jesus and put it on the performance and the things that are being done. Where's Jesus in the middle of this? Where's Jesus in the Easter Bunny? I tell you, I have never seen an Easter Bunny jump up on the cross and be crucified for me. The Easter Bunny has nothing to do with that. And even if they want to talk about fertility for crops and this, that, and the other, I'm not worrying about all of that stuff. I'm worrying about my soul. I'm worrying about my fellow man's soul. Are you born again? That's what you need to know. Are you born again? And when people come to church for tradition, because they are coming to church, and I heard my husband say something earlier, and somebody else said something earlier, people come to church on Easter with the new clothes, you know, the new suits and all of this, that, and the third. But when you leave that church service, have new life been deposited in you? When those people leave service after Easter, because most churches are full on Easter, are you following up with those same people to make sure that they are born again? Are you following up with those same people that they really do know that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior? Are you following up with those people that make sure that you're praying with them and make sure there's walking on the right path right now? But what we do is we let everybody come to church and we're excited because the church is full. But what happens after that? What happens after you pass out the Easter eggs and you do the Easter egg hunt? What happens after that? Because after the Easter egg is gone and the chocolate is gone, when you need Jesus, you can't call out to that Easter egg. You can't call out to that Easter bunny. You need Jesus.
And
that's where I stand today, is that we need to go ahead and promote Jesus. We need to talk about Jesus. We need to talk about what Jesus did on Calvary, what Jesus did before he went to Calvary, what he did before he went to Calvary. And like my husband said, they were saying Hosanna. They were saying Hosanna. They were saying Hosanna. And next thing you know, they're saying crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. But he was crucified for us. He was crucified for you. He was crucified for me. So that I don't have to go to hell, that I don't have to go to hell and then get picked up and thrown into the lake of fire. He was crucified for me. Hallelujah. And I thank him for that. I thank him for that. So, yeah, I will talk about the Easter Bunny, but I'm talking about the Easter Bunny to let you know that the Easter Bunny has not done anything and can never do anything for you. You need Jesus. Jesus is the answer. It's Jesus. Oh, yes, it's Jesus. It's Jesus in my soul. Hallelujah, for I've touched the hem of his garment, and I know that he made me whole. I'm going to tell you about Jesus, okay? Carvel and all these other companies are making all this money on the Easter Bunny. They're making all this money about all this stuff, but that money that they're making can't shed no blood for you. That money that they're making can't heal you when you're sick. You can't call on that Easter Bunny when you need to be delivered. You can't call on that Easter Bunny when your body needs to be healed. You can't call on that Easter Bunny when you're going through something and nobody understands but Jesus. You can't call on that Easter Bunny because the Easter Bunny ain't done nothing for you, never could, never will be able to. So for those who trust in the Easter Bunny, may I please put you on notice today that the Easter Bunny is not going to die for your sins. Jesus already did it. Can I put you on notice today, those of you who would like to get dressed up and show off on Easter? That's all fine and good, and I'm not taking that away from you. But what I need you to know is that the inside of your soul needs to be clean, okay, not the outward. God's not concerned about your outward appearance. God is concerned about your heart today. He's concerned about whether or not you're saved. He's concerned about whether or not you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's concerned about whether you have given him your heart so that he can make it new for you. He's concerned about that. Are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Do you really know who Jesus is? Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? I offer you salvation today. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I offer you salvation today. If you're listening live or if you're in the archives, listening in the archives or you're in the phone line and you want to know who Jesus is, I offer you Jesus today. I can't offer you the Easter Bunny because you can eat that piece of chocolate and that piece of chocolate be gone. But I can offer you Jesus. He is everlasting. He is from everlasting to everlasting. I can offer you Jesus. He will not change. He will not expire. The expiration date on the box of candy will expire, but there is no expiration date on Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There is no expiration date on the healing power that he gave us. There is no expiration date on the salvation that he has given us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if you want to know Jesus, I can help you get to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you read the book of St. John 3, you will see that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus said, how can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Glory to God. And if we are not born of the water and of the Spirit, we will not see the kingdom of God. We will not enter into the kingdom of God. We can't do it. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Glory to God. And the Easter Bunny cannot cause you to be born again. The bunny rabbit can't help you when it's time to be born again. Glory to God. He didn't say have faith in the Easter Bunny, but he said have faith in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Faith in what Jesus did. Faith in what he did. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus gave his life. They didn't take it. He gave his life as a ransom for many. Glory to God. For you and for me. I'm part of that many. I'm part of that. Jesus did that for me. He did it for you. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him, whosoever. And if you're in this, you are whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him. Whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ, not the Easter Bunny. Whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ, not the hard-boiled eggs. Whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ, not your new outfit and your new hairdo. But whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You should not perish, but you shall have everlasting life. You shall have everlasting life. Glory to God. So let us take our eyes off of the commercialism of Easter and just even take Easter out of our minds. And let us think on, let us ponder in our minds, let us meditate on what Jesus did. Let us meditate on why there isn't such thing as Resurrection Sunday. Because if Jesus would have died and never got up from the grave, there would be no newness of life. But he died and he went to hell and took the keys to hell, death, and the grave. And he came back out victorious and now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For our redemption, for our redemption, he redeemed us back. He redeemed us. He brought us back. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He paid the price. He paid the price for you and for me. Can no Easter Bunny do that? No fertility God can do that. We don't need to be worrying about all of that stuff. We need to check ourselves and make sure that we are born again. When we go to church on Easter Sunday, we need to do a salvation check. While everybody parading your outfits around, let's do a salvation check. Are you born again? If you're not born again, come to this altar. Let me get your name and phone number so I can follow up with you. I want you to be born again because as sure as my name is what it is, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, your name will not be in there and neither will you. You won't be in heaven, but you'll be in hell. Then you'll be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So I'm here to offer you today in this season where everybody want to talk about the Easter Bunny, where everybody want to talk about the colored eggs and the this and the that, let's talk about Jesus and let's get saved. Let's talk about Jesus and let's get born again. Let's talk about Jesus and thank him and praise him for what he did for us on Calvary, for the wounds and the bruises that he took for us. Let's thank him and praise him for the blood that he shed on the cross at Calvary for my sin and for your sin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's thank him for that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because in the end, hallelujah, that's what matters. Glory to God. So go on and get your Easter egg if you want to. Go on and get your outfit. It's okay. But make sure, hallelujah, you check your heart. Make sure you check your heart and see whether you are serving God or not. Check your heart and see whether you belong to Satan or God. Check your heart, hallelujah, because God, hallelujah, I'll say it again, man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. And I know on Sunday, on our way to church, we're going to see many beautiful people dressed up, dressed up, dressed up. And they're going to come out the church looking the same way they went in. But I pray, God, that where we go, the church that we go to on Sunday, that the people will go in one way and leave out a different way. And I mean when they leave out born again. I mean when they leave out born again in the name of Jesus. I mean when they leave out delivered from drugs and from alcohol, from prostitution, from fornication and adultery, from bisexuality and homosexuality. I pray that when they leave out that day, hallelujah, after hearing the message, hallelujah, about Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, hallelujah, that they will leave out, hallelujah, with a new mind, hallelujah, in Christ Jesus, that all things will be passed away and all things will become new, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. I pray that those that come in one way and beat down, broken down, they will go out, hallelujah, raised up, new creatures in Christ Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah. That is my prayer, hallelujah, that if the drug addict comes in there dressed up on Sunday, they will leave out of there, hallelujah, will take off their old filthy garments and get all robe, hallelujah, a pure white in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. I pray, hallelujah, that those, hallelujah, that have mental issues or physical challenges, when they leave out on Sunday, that they will come out, hallelujah, healed and set free, delivered in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I know an Easter Bunny is not going to do that. I know an Easter Bunny cannot do that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But my faith in Jesus Christ, glory to God. Hallelujah. And the word of Christ, hallelujah, can set the captives free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Didn't mean to go preaching like that, glory to God, hallelujah, but Jesus knows, hallelujah, now is the day of salvation, now is the time of salvation. Will you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto you today, glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm sorry, Diana, did you have something else to say?
Oh, man, I was just feeling you. I'm just hoping people are listening and pulling out their Bibles and reading and trying to learn what the truth really is. You know, let these traditions go. Let them go. They're the tools of the devil, and he uses everything, and he's on his job. He's on his job. But as Christians, we have to get on ours. We have to get on ours.
People have taken the word Christian and have just relegated as a word, just something to say. People are not a Christian. If you're supposed to be, what definitions I've heard Christians are supposed to be, you're supposed to be Christ-like. What are we doing that is Christ-like, that is drawing the sinner to Christ? What is it that we're doing as Christians that is drawing people to want to be saved? We can walk around and do just like the world and talk about the Easter Bunny and get dressed up and do Easter egg hunts and all of that stuff. But how is that drawing you to my Jesus? How is that drawing you to my Savior? How is that drawing you to my Lord? Now, I will get an egg, and I will boil an egg, and I will get a magic marker and put on there, you need Jesus. If that's how you want to play the game, I will play the game with you like that. You need Jesus. Except the man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I will put a scripture. If that's how you want to play the game, I will give you a hard-boiled egg with a scripture on it. If that's how you want to play the game. But you're going to know that you have been served the word of God. You have been served. I'm letting you know you've been served. Here you go. Here's your egg, but here's your word. You must be born again. You must be born again. See, listen, the devil is crafty. The devil is crafty, but the Lord gives us witty inventions. Okay? Satan is crafty, but the Lord gives us witty inventions. Y'all want to play the Easter Bunny game? I can play the Easter Bunny game with you, too. I can pass out Easter bunnies, but I'm going to pass out some scriptures that will be, you won't even be able to get to the Easter bunny until you read that scripture. That's how you want to do it? We can do it that way, Diana.
Yes, we can. We can.
You, I mean, look,
my daughter,
listen,
will
meet
be
people
eight
where they
old,
are.
And did you know she don't even know what Easter is about? I have kept that from her, so she don't even know. She can't even pronounce it correctly. She saw a basket at the store and said, Mommy, what's this basket for? I said, oh, that's an Easter basket. She's talking about Ephor. That's what she called Ephor.
Ephor.
She said, when Ephor come, can I get a basket? I said, baby, if Ephor ever come, you can have a basket. Well, we all know that ain't never going to come.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's almost 1:30. I'm going to put on... I'm going to try one thing. Give me one second here. I was going to put on another song. I lost my phone. Where's my phone? I'm looking for my cell phone. I cannot find it. Anyway, our program is really about salvation. What we really teach is salvation because I believe we're living in the last days. I do believe that Jesus is coming back sooner than we think, sooner than we expect him to come back. And I do believe that we ought to be ready when he gets here. I believe that we ought to teach people about the word of God and not just bash them upside the head and tell them you can't celebrate this and you can't celebrate that. If that's where you're stuck right now, I believe the word of God is going to bring you out. I believe the word of God is truth and the word of God is life. And the word of God has power to change anybody, even what they believe. I do not participate in Easter egg hunts and the Easter bunny. I just don't. Okay.
I don't
like it. It doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. Okay. Somebody else might feel differently. I'm not going to badger you about that, but at the same time, I'm going to let you know in whom I believe. I'm going to let you know that there is a risen Savior. His name is Jesus. I'm going to let you know that Jesus died for you. And he rose again, hallelujah, so that you can rise again. You can rise up out of your sin. I'm going to let you know that. So the more you want to promote Easter bunny and Easter rabbit and Easter eggs to me, I'm going to promote Jesus just as hard. So let's do this. It's okay with me. What you think, Diane?
I don't want to badger people either, but when I have different ones, you know, that ask me questions, and I can only give them scripture information because I can't give them nothing else. I can't
and
give them
that's
an opinion.
That's what's going to change them because my opinion doesn't matter.
Right.
Your opinion doesn't matter. Nobody's opinion matters. What matters is the word of God.
Right.
That's what matters, the word of God. It's the word of God because it is God that is going to change them. We can talk until we're blue in the face about anything that we believe or what we think of this and that, but it's the word of God. The Bible tells us in Acts, you know, how can they hear except the preacher preach? We got to preach the word. We got to be accountable to preach that word. We got to be accountable to give them the word so that they can hear. If you notice on these commercials, I'm going to say this really quick. If you notice that during the holiday, the television is inundated with commercials. The television is commercial after commercial after commercial after commercial about that same one item. Then they'll go to another item, and they'll show commercial after commercial after commercial after commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And
and everybody
every time
has
you turn around,
your Easter clothes.
Your Easter clothes. But they bombard you with this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
They bombard
they sure
you with
do.
It, getting it into your ear gate, and they're getting it to your eye gate, and they're making it so that you meditate on this thing. I think I might want that. They keep showing us. Maybe I want that. Yes, that looks nice. I think I'm going to go and get that. Well, this is the same thing it should be with the word of God. We should be inundated. The airwaves should be inundated with the word of God. The airwaves, the Blog Talk Radio, people should just get on Blog Talk Radio with the word of God. But let me say this, with the word of God and knowledge, with the word of God and wisdom, with the word of God and anointing, because people will go out here and take the word of God and make it something that is not even. They'll turn it around and make it to be something else. But if you have the anointing of God and God has allowed you to do that, has called you to do that, we need to be out there telling Jesus, even if it's not on the air. If we're on the street, we need to be promoting Jesus. We need to be talking about Jesus everywhere we go. Do you know Jesus? Have you been born again? Did you know that Jesus is coming back? And when he's coming back for his church without spot or without blemish. Did you know that? Did you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? I need to let you know, hallelujah, that there is no righteousness in this Easter bunny. There's no righteousness in this Easter egg, but there is righteousness in Jesus Christ. May I offer him to you today.
Amen. Amen, sister. Amen.
Amen. But let me just add this chime in, this one second about this. I believe, as an old preacher man, been around for a while, that many of these things that we, even with the commercialism and all that, you know where it started? It didn't start with TV, because TV wasn't around when the Easter Bunny was created. TV wasn't around when Santa Claus was created. Let's be clear. These things are 400 or 500 years old. Television is about 70 years old. So let's be clear. It's not TV. It's not radio. The radio is 85 years old. Santa Claus is 400 years old. So where did it start? It started in the church. How is it perpetuated? It's perpetuated in the church. That's why when we get dressed up, we go to church. Because the church likes the fact that we're coming, because they like the fact that everybody's there. And then what do the people in the church do? Oh, you individually will say, well, I don't raise my child like that. But do we ever take that to the church and say that? Do we ever challenge anybody's on a board? I've been a preacher, which means I chaired boards. So I could have certainly brought that up in a board meeting. And I'm confessing my own sin. Because did I do that? No, I did not. Did I question these things as I got older? Yes. But when I was a young preacher, no. As I got older and I became more convicted, and I knew these things, but when I became more convicted in the Word of God, when I thought that that was more important than trying to stand on political correctness within the church, when we start to really stand for something and not fall for anything or make it a personal in-house thing, and that's all we do is we write in the house, but we ain't right, no, we accept everything and we're so docile. The Christian community is the most docile community in the world. We let everything happen. Schools being, prayer being taken out of school. A woman had 1,000 petitions. There are a billion Christians in the world. I get 1,000 people to sign a petition against a billion Christians and schools taken out of, prayers taken out of school. Something's wrong with the Christian community that not only does it allow it, it perpetuates it. I mean, I've been in situations I've seen. I venture to say Sunday, there'll be churches that will have Easter egg hunts on its own grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. I mean, don't make it out. It's only the world. Oh, no. It's the church, too. It's the church originally. Because before there was Kmart and Walmart, and before there was TV and radio, even before there was Telegram and Wells Fargo and the Pony Express and all those other ways of communicating, before all of that happened, Santa Claus was already created. Before all of that happened, the Easter Bunny was already hopping in the church, in and out the pews. So the church is supposed to be the standard bearer, and we're not the standard bearers. We conform. We don't create. We conform. We're supposed to create a new society. We're supposed to create a new attitude in the world. We don't do that. We conform. And until the church says, we're not going to have Easter egg hunts anymore on our church grounds, Easter Bunny will live on. Until the church says that we explain Easter apart from Easter Bunny, the Easter Bunny will live on. With the cross buns, they'll live on. All those are pagan things that we have at Easter time. Even ham, you know what? My God, I mean, come on, Jesus and all them were Christian. I mean, were Jews, so you ain't know what nobody did with no ham. But we eat ham on Easter.
That's the tradition. That's where tradition.
That's good, but whose tradition is it? Certainly wasn't Jewish tradition. Because Jews don't eat ham.
Right.
That's a vile animal. That's an unclean animal. That's an impure animal. So where did that happen? Did Kmart start it? No. Did Acme start it? No. Did Safeway start it? No. We started it. The church allowed it. The church will have what sunrise service. The first thing they service is sausage and ham. And egg, too, for that matter. You're talking about eggs, they just heard that, too. Sunrise service shouldn't be any of that. It should be us coming, celebrating the resurrection of Christ, and we all go home. But no, we have to eat the ham, and we got to eat the grits, and we got to eat the eggs, and we got to eat the sausage, and we got to eat everything we can get our hands on. And because we do that, we taint it. Because we do that, we compromise it. Because we do that, we too commercialize it in our own little sophisticated way. See, Satan is a sly dog, and we just a sly Satan. We dress it up like it's of God. We dress it up as if we're doing it for God's sake. But it's all the same thing. What difference does it make that there's a commercial every day from now until Easter about the Easter bunny and the chocolate and the Easter rabbit hopping all around everywhere? And us having an Easter egg hunt on Sunday morning. What's the difference? Who's the less guilty? Who's the more guilty? I would say he's the commercial man because he don't have any faith to lean on. All it's about is the mighty dollar with him. But the church, which is grounded, whose foundation is Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the church, who claims to be the haven of Christ, the place where you will find the Lord, is perpetuating the very things that the world embraces.
I think I have never done this before, but I want to get a caller on the line and see what they think about this Easter Bunny and Jesus thing.
Amen.
Hold on for a second. Let's see if I can do this. This will be something new that I'm trying, but I want to get some callers in here. I'm going to see if it happens. Okay, I'm going to see if it happens. Can y'all hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, she's not picking up. Okay, that phone call didn't work. That one didn't work, but let me see if I can call someone else. This is a neat feature that the show has where you can dial someone and get them on the line. Okay, I guess we'll be trying this another day.
Please leave your name.
Oh, yeah, we want to try that another
day. And I will be back to you as soon as possible.
All right, then. We will try this another day. But this is a unique feature that I want to start using to call people to be able to ask them questions like this. What do you really think about Easter? What do you really think about the Easter Bunny? Like, do you really think the Easter Bunny has anything to do with Jesus Christ? And I want to hear their answers because different people have different answers, and I think it's kind of interesting sometimes just to hear what they have to say.
Hmm.
Hello?
You can't try one more?
I can try one more.
Make it a three, even three. A trinity, if you will.
All right, let me try this number. I'm going to try it one more. Two. Okay, I'm going to try this number. Okay, I don't know what that just did, but let's try it again. Two. Four. Okay. And we're dialing.
Hello?
Hi, Raya.
Hi, how are you?
This is Aunt Teresa. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm blessed. Listen, I have you online on my radio program, and I wanted to ask you a question.
Sure. Hold on. Let me step outside the door. Hold on.
Okay.
Sure. What's your question?
As I said, this is a live call, and we are on the radio. And
yes.
I want to ask you, do you think the Easter Bunny has anything to do with Jesus Christ?
No, not at all. It's man-made.
What's man-made?
The Easter Bunny.
You're saying the Easter Bunny has nothing to do with Jesus?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
So,
it's the day he resurrected from the dead, and it has nothing to do with Jesus whatsoever.
It has nothing to do with Jesus, the Easter Bunny?
No.
Okay. I was just doing live calls to see what people had to say because I just want to test the waters and see what you believe.
Yes, yes.
So what about the new clothes that I wear on Easter? Does that have anything to do with Jesus?
No, the new clothes don't have anything to do with Jesus. Jesus says, come as you are.
He said, come as you are?
Jesus says, come as you are. He accepts you as you are. He's not sitting up there looking at what color skirt you have on, where you brought your skirt from. Just come as you are. Give yourself to him.
Oh, I like that. Give yourself to him. Alrighty, then. So I'm going to ask you, are you born again?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Yes,
you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do. Yes, I
Alrighty,
do.
Alrighty, then. That will conclude our phone call. Thank you so much for participating
in this.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Love you. Talk to you later.
Thank you. See you.
All right. Bye-bye. I crack myself up sometimes.
That was a good call.
Now, what you should ask him is, she has four children. Are any of them getting Easter baskets this year?
I should have asked her that, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's what I would ask. Because a lot of people like to say things that, you know, that are really religious. We know what to say. That's one thing about Christians. They know what to say.
I'm going to call her back.
Are you? Oh,
okay, go ahead.
You know, I'm just curious, you know, because people, oh, I'm not, yeah, but I got all the Easter baskets. It's all going to be out of Easter eggs, huh? We're going to have Easter egg color.
Hello?
Hey, Raya.
Yes?
Uncle Gerald has a question he wants to ask you.
Sure.
Hey, Raya.
Hey, Uncle Gerald, how are you?
Okay. I'm just curious because I heard what you said and I was so elated and so happy to hear that. But I want to follow. Can I give you a follow up question?
Sure.
Are you going to get a basket for the kids this year?
I'm sorry.
Are you going to get Easter baskets for the kids this year?
I was going to do Easter baskets for them this year, but I explained to them that it has nothing to do with the Easter bunny. I tried to instill in them Easter is about Jesus. And
that's
not about the Easter bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's you know, growing up, that's what they explained to me. That's what my parents explained to me. You know, as far as Easter basket, I'll do the Easter basket, but it's all like a man-made holiday. They even ruined Christmas.
Oh, yes.
It's no longer about Jesus anymore, and that's what's making everything so messed up. I think if they had less man-made things and let these kids know about Jesus, the world will probably be a little bit better than what it is.
And can I ask another follow-up question? Do you believe that the church has contributed to some of this?
Yes, because some of the churches, they have Easter egg hunts.
Oh, my. Does your church have that?
Yeah, some of them do Easter egg hunts.
Okay.
Some of them, they sit there and they make sometimes some of them make people feel bad of how they're dressed, so they gotta come and they try to outdo one another in their Sunday's best. Everybody just not everybody. I don't want to say everybody. It seems like they just forgot about Jesus.
Amen, amen. I like that, and that's so true. We have adopted ourselves to the world, haven't we?
Yes.
Thank you, Raya.
You're welcome.
I just wanted your opinion on those two points.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Raya. Love you guys a lot. I enjoy
love
seeing the baby.
Thank you. I will.
Okay.
Take care. Have a blessed one.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
All righty, then.
Okay.
Oops.
Wish they wouldn't have the Easter baskets.
I got Rob. I didn't mean to delete Diane. I didn't mean to take her off the phone. I mistakenly took her off the phone.
Oh, my.
I'm sorry, but you can call back, Diane.
Please do.
I'm sorry.
You're still there in the chat room, but we can't hear anybody in the chat room anymore. I don't know. I haven't been able to hear you for a long time. I sent you a message. They cannot hear you anymore.
Hmm.
Oh, that's her now, probably.
No, she wouldn't be calling on my house phone.
Oh, okay. I got you. You gonna call somebody again?
I don't know what's happening here.
Hello?
Why is the phone ringing?
I don't know. That's weird. Let me hang up, see what could happen.
No.
Let me hang up for a second. So you can, maybe it'll get through if it's going to hang up. Somebody's trying to call something. Let me try to hang up. Oh, okay. Oh, she's back on the chat room.
Ask her, can she hear?
Okay.
Say it on the phone.
Oh, Diane? Can you hear? Diane, can you hear us? Let us know through the chat room. If you can hear us. Well, there seems to be a problem with the chat room right now. We just want to make sure you can hear us. Say yes or no if you can hear us. If you can't hear us, then please call back. We need to continue our conversation. You're very stimulating. She's not saying anything on the chat room. So she probably can't hear anything. Hello? Oh. You want me to hang up?